you boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Thank you, Jeff. Because of the blood of Jesus, by his death, Jesus opened a new life, giving way the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. That's an awesome line. That is a wonderful line, and I'm going to help you today to actually promise him as well. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of its return is drawing near. Dear friends, we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth. There is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refuses to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were commonly and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings forth God's mercy unto us. Frustration. That's an internal thing, right? Frustration. Sometimes we don't have control of, because it happens from outside issues of somebody else. Maybe I want to go do something today and something happens. An outside force, a person or whatever, brings like a barrier to me, and I can't get done what I want to do. Is that a good thing?
Yes. Well, it can depend.
It can depend.
You can control your reaction to it.
Doesn't mean it's not frustrating, even if it's a good thing.
Right.
Does that happen at my house a lot? I'd be blocked from getting a forward, and I'd be frustrated and didn't understand. But then once it's all revealed, I was actually being held back for a great reason and being saved.
Yeah.
And then when it was revealed, you go, wow, well, that...
And that's what a lot of times, most times, when we are anxious or we're frustrated, we cope in a negative way, don't we? I guess if my face shows it, I'm going to get a bunch of wrinkles, which I already have. So I'm trying to help you guys not get those wrinkles as well.
Well, the way I show my frustration, back in my younger days, I'd be stopped off like a drunken sailor. But today, I just growl. So if you all hear me growl, it's because something is frustrating me.
You know, anxiety and frustration, a lot of times, they're significant to our health, our mental health, our physical health, right? Something happens, it gets triggered in our bodies, I guess, and we react most of the time in a negative way. And what does that do? That brings more negative onto us, doesn't it? If we're always constantly dwelling on something bad. And I found a lot of times, I've created my own crisis by the way I reacted. A lot of times I didn't think very well. I sort of just, you know, I might have said something that I can't bring back. I can't bring stuff back when I just said it, right? So, you know, as we talk today about anxiety and frustrations, I'm going to try to guide us by the end of this message so that we can help ourselves out and let God enter into us during those situations. One thing I found out too is, in my own personal experience, I was married to an alcoholic and a person who abused prescription drugs. I was frustrated a lot. And I prayed every day about that. I did. I prayed every single day. But that's all I did. I didn't go any further than that. You know, I didn't tell God, thank you for the awesome other things that you're doing in my life. And so my ex-wife died of addiction. And I know everybody in here has something like that in their life. And I can sit here and tell you that being a Christian is hard. It's hard work. God didn't promise us the simple way, did he? No, he didn't. But I think what happens in times of anxiety and frustration, we have an opportunity to actually work to the advantage for ourselves in that frustration. Sometimes we can actually get stronger. We can get stronger in our faith. I know that for sure. The problem is that this world is so broken. Even the kids are frustrated. I bet these kids right here are frustrated about something. Maybe mom and dad had to make some sacrifices they didn't know about, and, you know, they're mad. You know, they're taking it out on the person closest to them, like I always do. And then I bring back the stuff that happened a year ago. Well, obviously, I shouldn't be thinking about that, because all that does is fester and fester and fester. And so when Mark asked us to do the sermons for the next 3 weeks, you can ask my wife, I have a stack of papers that I've been working on for my own self. And so I have to remind myself to look at that. And I think when we get done today, I'm going to give you some ideas as to how you can actually not be anxious, not be frustrated for a significant amount of time. And what do you do when you're on the spot and, you know, somebody invades the thing that you were going to do? I need to do this, and look what somebody else did. You know, this outside force. One of my other issues is, I didn't even realize this until we hired a guy that we met at the ski slope. We did our driveway and we did all this stuff yesterday with that Scott. And he was at our house one day. He was, well, yeah, Joel, because you're a type A personality. I'm like, what? I haven't had anybody say that other than probably my wife. She didn't say that, but she's like, oh, you know, everything's got to be in place. This has to be just, you know, can't be a weed in the yard. You know, there can't be dishes in the sink. There can't be all this stuff. I'm so frustrated with dirty dishes. How come you can't learn to put them in the, you know, dishwasher sitting right there? Anybody else have those issues?
No.
No?
I used to be married to that.
I love the
sink. I got it. If it makes you feel any better, Joel, the floor having dirt on it makes me mad.
Yeah, and I mean, I used to make everybody take their shoes off. We had a sign in our house. Take your shoes off. I look back at that, I'm like, you know, that's pretty dumb considering now we live in a log house and gravel driveway that's 500, you know, I don't know how long it is, this long. And we're always tracking stuff in. It's like, okay, well, forget that one now.
Yeah.
So I'm learning my personally that I need to quit being so.
We have to have a dog that does not shed.
Yes, I do have a dog that does not shed. We have a dog.
You're looking for a hairless dog?
Well, you know.
Yay.
You guys probably don't know this, but I wear a lot of clothes that are dark, black, whatever. And we had a pug, Tara's pug, when we first got married, and I won't tell my story.
You must really love me, because the first time I brought my pug to his house when we were dating, she took off, ran ran over to his couch, jumped on the couch, and pooped on it.
Oh,
she had never done anything like that before. And he's still married.
Well, yeah, it was. I did train that dog, by the way, eventually. You know, she became a good dog. And she's still around, we just don't have her.
Well, you know, this past week, some guy was in with his dog, and over by the produce with onions and stuff like that, lays three piles there. And the guy walks the dog around the corner down to another aisle. And there's three more piles going on there. Walked into one area and it ended up throwing up all over the floor there. And I was ready to approach this guy and, you know, say something, but I also learned through my training videos that when something coming up, you gotta get one of the coaches or team leads. Well, by the time the coach finally showed up, he was already out the door and gone. But it just gets very aggravating because there's other times that people bring in their dogs, they don't have them trained, they don't do anything about it, they just let it go on the floor and then be on their way, you know, so.
Yeah, and you know, that brings up a good point because I'm really bad, I'm way better, I'm really bad at thinking everybody should think like me. Does anybody have that in their system? I mean, I found out. Oh my gosh, I could tell stories, and I think everybody in here could. So I mean, we are not going to be, we're sinners, okay? We are sinners, we're born sinners, but we can still have redemption and be with God. And big thing is we don't want to sin knowing that we're sinning. That's a hard thing, but I think once we can actually do a few of these things that I'm going to talk about, it's going to make stuff easier, because if we're not thinking about, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be thinking that, I shouldn't be saying that, you know, I shouldn't be acting like that. And what do we do when there's ungodly people around us? And we don't like that person. Are we going to gossip? Anybody in here ever gossip?
Yeah. Did you say you're not?
This is, yeah. I mean, talk about judgmental thinking. God hates the gossip, okay? God hates the gossip. Because you know normally what that is? It's Satan trying to find our weakness. And once he finds that weakness, oh my gosh. He knows my weakness, I can tell you. Chico sticks, that's my weakness. So, that being said, can we go to the next slide, Danny? Stand firm on our convictions. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that to be able to conquer frustration, anxiety, bad talk to somebody, especially in your family? This is our family right here, guys. This is our family. We will support you. But if you're out at work or with other people or even somebody from our family, we need to remember they aren't like us. Just this week, I had thoughts of someone that I thought should have thought differently. Just think like me. Think like me and you're going to be perfect, okay? Somebody should kick me in the head. We need to give grace more often. That person is not going to think like you at all unless you tell an experience of what God has actually done for you. So I want everybody to stand up right now. Don, don't sit down. I want everybody to stand up. Stretch your legs a little bit. I had the privilege of listening to a very famous college football coach speak one time. And
he has spoken Promise Keepers a number of times. If you don't know what Promise Keepers are, it's basically where men go in huge groups to this once a year. A lot of times it's in California, but it moves around. So Promise Keepers is what us men need to do. And so I'm getting on the men right now because, listen, guys, we have more volunteers that are women in this church than almost every single church that I've been to. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah.
So I'm challenging the guys right now. Here's what I'm going to do. This, I have not forgotten this, and I think it was probably 9 years ago that this gentleman spoke at our church where Carl and I met. I want you to believe that God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is within you always. And I'm going to have you do this right here. Catch your leg. That's all crazy? I still do that 9 years later. I challenge everybody in here today, including you, Pastor Mark, if you're going to listen to this, pat your leg a number of times during the day to remind yourself that the Holy Spirit is within you always. He's not going to leave. You could make him mad. You could do some pretty bad things. But if you keep in mind that he's here all the time by doing this, do this 3-4 times a day for 1 week. I'm not going to be here Sunday next week. Traveling back to South Dakota for a funeral, but my wife's going to be here, so maybe I'm going to have her spy on you guys or ask you, have you done this? Did you do this? Or did you just say Joel's a nut? I guarantee if you do this, especially when something comes up, and you can be sitting in your car. Doesn't matter where you're at. Just do this and try to think of positive things instead of the negative things. And I mean, I was horrible at getting mad at bad drivers. I used to travel for a living, and I traveled 60,000 miles a year in my car. So you can about imagine how many situations I would have where I get frustrated with some driver. I'm like, I'm going to tailgate that person. I'm going to, you know, or worse. And I've done worse. So you'll be seated. The other thing that I could help you with is calming your nerves a little bit. And those internal feelings that we have can actually calm us down. Because anxiety and frustration can lead to anger, can lead to physical stuff that you may want to do or do to somebody. I'm going to tell a story, and this is just off the top of my head, because I wasn't in my notes, but, so I have a cousin in Sioux Falls that is a year younger than me. We pretty much grew up together. And I can tell you that as a parent nowadays, you can do the best things for your kids. You can try to shelter them from things. My cousin's son was in rehab, in and out. This kid was extremely talented. Still holds a track record at one of the biggest high schools in South Dakota. Could play anything on his guitar. He didn't need music. You tell him the song, he'll play it. Good looking, strong, energetic, awesome personality, always upbeat, except when he was doing drugs. And one of his, actually his girlfriend, came back from treatment, and lo and behold, the first night he was back, she managed to find some drugs, and he died. I can't really imagine losing a child, I guess. I can't imagine losing my 30-some-year-old daughters. Or my stepkids. Or a grandkid. And I said, my story here about this is that I came up to him at the funeral, it was about a year and a half ago, and I said, you know, this will make you stronger. I know it doesn't seem like it, but he's not a Christian, doesn't go to church. His girlfriend, that he's been with for decades, does and is. But sometimes, like his situation, the frustration over the years and trying to do the best thing for his kid, he had no place to go because nobody was really saying, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, how can I help you? What can I do for you? And discipleship, to glorify God as a servant, has to come even if we're frustrated with our own lives. Even if we're anxious about stuff. We need to help one another through, and God can take care of any situation. I know people don't believe that, but I'm standing here as living proof. We went through a lot of trauma, especially when we got married, because our kids, both of our kids, all of our kids, you know, weren't ready for a new parent maybe. And then right after that, I get to find out I have bone marrow cancer, the rarest one, about 40 people in the U.S. is all. Get what I have. It takes a long time, if you even survive. And I used to get so frustrated because we'd have to be at, I was in the hospital for 30 days, and then we had to go to the clinic, what, two, sometimes three times a day? And they always ask me the same thing. What's your name? What's your birthday? All this stuff. And it's like, I get so frustrated with that, but what I didn't do at the time, I don't think, because I had given it all to God. I said, whatever happens, you know, do it, you know. If you want me to live, great. If you don't want me to live, okay. I weighed 100, got down to 130 some pounds or whatever. You know, I went in there muscled to the brink so I could be prepared, but I would get so frustrated. Instead, I should have been, when they asked me all these questions, I should be thankful that I was alive, you know. And then we have to turn those negative pushbacks we get from our frustrations somehow into a positive. And here's another way to do that. I picked some verses out that I want to share. These are kind of comforting verses, and a few of you may know. You might know them all, you might not know any of them. But I'm going to give them to you so that maybe just one of them, you pick one, I'm going to give you a few in your own life, you can say that particular verse at any point in time, you know, if that helps you with the anxiety, okay? So, for those of you that want to follow along, first one is Isaiah 41:10. Now, like I say, if one of these, you know, hits home with you, use it. My wife has a couple. I even wrote my dad's favorite one on here. It's in his Bible. So, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with victorious hands. Okay? I will hold you up with a victorious right hand. There's a lot in that one verse. My gosh. How much does God love us? The next one, I've got a few that Paul had spoke. 2 Thessalonians. That's way back in the New Testament. And we're going to look at chapter 2, 13 through 17. My heading is, believers should stand firm. Believers should stand firm. Wow. You guys all there? As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you in person and by letter. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father who loved us and by the grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope to comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Wow, that's some amazing stuff. It'll strengthen you in all the good things you do and say. Next we're going to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:29. If I can get my phone to work. Are we there? All right. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I love that verse, but I love the next one better because it's my dad's favorite verse. We're going to go to Romans 8:31. This one has a special place in our heart. Right on. Nothing can separate us from God's love. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Won't he also give us everything else? Listen, when I hear that, and you hear that, give us everything. Keeping in mind that we aren't going to get everything we ask for, okay? We might, but it's doubtful. Don't lose hope just because you pray to God and it's not on your time frame, okay? The last one is John 16:33. This is Jesus speaking. So how could it get any better than that? I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Very good. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. When I think of myself in some situation where I'm physically discomfort or mentally in a state of frustration or an anxiety, one thing I do a lot is I think about what Jesus endured on the cross. I have had more surgeries and broken bones and things replaced and bone marrow cancer, prostate cancer and all that. And that is nothing. That is nothing compared to what Jesus went through. Can we imagine that even? When I was in the hospital, I got some sort of weird thing going on. And I was all, you know, I was like doing everything I could to be strong, you know, walking, all these things in my little space on the third floor. And I went through about, I think it was a 2-week period, probably you know, half the time I was in somebody's bed or anything, but I had to literally pee every 10 minutes, 24 hours a day, in pain to do it. And I was frustrated, and I was angry, and I was like, am I going to do it? What could I do? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I still think that all the physical stuff I went through prior to that actually helped me get stronger mentally and physically. So with the physical part, I have a way better strength than the mental part sometimes that I let myself get frustrated over with little things, and then what happens when we get all anxious, we get physically sick, we get all this stuff. Why are we doing it? Does anybody really want to be physically sick, mentally sick, and all that all the time? Anybody in here want to be physically and mentally sick all the time? Through crisis, we can not only help others, but we will be helping ourselves. Because the best thing we could possibly do is to tell others about what God has done for us. It doesn't have to be some monumental thing. But I guarantee you, if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, there's going to come a time when something significant will happen. And you have the opportunity at that time to use his strength to be the kind of person that can not only help somebody else to glorify, but help you as well in that time of need. I think I might have mentioned this one time in church, I can't remember, but I had a friend whose dad was in the VA, and they were trying to ship him off to another VA because, you know, they were full or they couldn't take, I don't know what the situation was. And I went in there, I was just listening and all this, and I went, wow. And it was about 20 minutes later, I'm like, Joel, why don't you just sit down and pray about this for your friend? But I had to like sit down. I can't believe that at that time, I didn't think of that. How could I not? I know this. I knew this. Why didn't I? I don't know. 5 minutes later, after I prayed and walked back up, he was able to stay at that VA. And the family had been fighting and fighting because they were going to send him off several states away. He was in a wheelchair and all that. And the power of prayer for someone else in a frustration or a anxious moment or even a huge crisis. The Holy Spirit is in us all the time. And we cannot forget that. God knows the end game of our situation. He knows. He already knows what's going to happen, okay? He's our wisdom. We need to surrender ourselves. When you expose yourself to others, when you expose yourself to God, He will listen. Then you want to go to, oh, you got it up there already. How do we do that? How many people in here spend quiet time with themselves and God? Do we do it every day? Do we set aside 3.5 minutes? I want everybody to think about setting aside a little bit more time so you can actually listen to what he's saying. And what I'd like you to think about is go to him in a place that is quiet. You can sit down and listen. You can meditate. But what you need to do is be really specific. What is your frustration? Tell him what your frustration is. He already knows it, but you need to say it. You need to say, I'm frustrated. This is why, God. I just... this and this and this and this and this. And he will listen to you and he will respond to you. He may not respond to that in 5 or 10 minutes, 5 or 10 years, I don't know. But to be bold with our faith, we need to rely on him in those times of our own frustration and anxiety and tell him exactly what we're frustrated with. Meditate on that.
One thing that I used to do when I was in Seattle that I need to get back in the habit of is just right when you wake up, just get on the side of your bed and pray. And that way you can't get distracted, you don't forget about it. Just wake up right when you get out of bed and pray.
Yeah. Another thing that I'm going to suggest is write down or remember when you go to him, write it down and say, you did this for me. You go back to the things he's already done for you and say, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Because a lot of times he does something for us and we're on, you know, we're on to the next thing or whatever. We need to thank him for what he's doing in our lives, don't we? I mean, that should be almost the forefront of the beginning of our prayer session. In a few weeks, Cece is going to talk about prayer in a lot deeper situation, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. Okay, we're going to read one more verse, or I'm going to read one more verse, and I can open it up to anything that you may want to talk about. We're going to Jeremiah, and I would guess that a lot of people might already have this verse, this verses, at least part of it. We're going to Jeremiah 29:1-13. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was the king. I'll back up just a second here.
Okay, Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce all these names great, but Jehoiachin, the queen mother, the court officials, and other officials of Judah, and all craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent them the letter with Ishlah, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is the letter that Jeremiah had received. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them, so that you may have many grandchildren and multiply. Do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you to exile. Pray to God, for its welfare will be determined by your welfare. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, of God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to your ears, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things that I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans that I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Are we looking to God? Are we looking to Jesus? When we get frustrated, are we looking to them if we're not asking them? Asking Him, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, are we asking Him in those times of anxiety and frustration? Are we asking Him? I think that's the key. We need to ask. We need to have a relationship with Jesus. Does anybody want to comment? Yes, Michael.
I actually got a few things I want to say real quick. I've been kind of taking notes and saving a few things to the end. But first I want to say that in the military there was a saying, and it is embrace the suck. And it means that you just, like, to consciously accept or appreciate something that is extremely unpleasant but unavoidable. Like, life happens, like, good or bad things are going to happen to us. It's inevitable. But, like, to embrace the negativity that happens to us or comes upon us, like, that's part of life. You experience the darkness to appreciate the light. And I wanted to say that character, I'm not sure if this is correct, but comes from a Latin word meaning to chisel. And that's what life does. Like, life chisels away at you. It's building the masterpiece that is you. And it takes those bad parts in our life to grow into the person we are. And I also want to note that I feel like a lot of frustration, I mean, I'm like the worst. I'm frustrated all the time. But I feel like a lot of it is caused because we're trying too hard to express our will and not God's will. And that when we release that and let it go and just let God take over our lives is when that frustration fades away. And the last thing is, there was a story that actually was in one of my kids' TV shows. It started off the movie with this story. And I actually heard it again in a podcast. And I believe it originated in China. And it's a story about a farmer. And this farmer had three oxen. And one day the oxen all ran off. And all the townspeople came over to the farmer and was like, "Oh, what bad luck you have. You know, all your oxen just ran away." And he's like, "Good luck, bad luck? Who really knows?" And the next day, the oxen returned with four more. And he has seven oxen now. And all the townspeople come out and go, "Wow, you're so lucky. You have all this oxen now. You know, you're just so blessed." And he's like, "Good luck, bad luck? Who really knows?" And the next day, his son is out there with the oxen, feeding them and tending them. And one of the oxen steps on his son's legs and breaks it. And all the townspeople come out, "Oh, what bad luck you have. Your son broke his leg taking care of these, you know, oxen." And he's like, "Good luck, bad luck? Who really knows?" And the next day, some people come that were sent from the emperor, and they're recruiting people for war. And they go around the village and bring all the young men to take them to go battle, but they couldn't take the farmer's son because he had a broken leg. And the moral of the story is, like, what is good luck? What is bad luck? Too many times we look at a situation and think we know why this is happening, when in reality, sometimes a negative experience could really be a blessing.
I'm sharing that. That's awesome. My wife does a lot more of that than I do. You know, I need, personally, that's why I said I started this several months ago, is how can I personally just do a better job of presenting myself, watching what I say, you know, and it's not easy. And like you said, you're frustrated a lot. And I think everybody in here would agree that we do get frustrated with things we hear on the news, or, you know, I'm a bad one to always want to know what's going on, so I read the news. And my wife's like, "Well, why do you read the news before you go to bed?"
Gotta watch out for CNN, that constant negative news.
Well, small way of good luck, bad luck. I've been a cigarette smoker for many years, and out of the three, I have COPD instead of dying with lung cancer right now. Y'all been hearing me coughing and all that, so I got the lesser of the three. But I don't know how long this is going to go on. But, you know, it's not going to get a bit better. I did quit smoking many years ago. But it's still bitten.
But the good news is it's not COVID.
What's that?
But the good news is it's not COVID.
Yeah.
Right.
So some guy's trying to tell me it's COVID. No.
I'd like to add or play off what Daniel said up there.
Yeah.
About praying in the morning. Because I've noticed, and this is just me, but for some reason, no matter how spiritually connected I am, how full of the Spirit I am in the morning, I mean in the evening, the prior evening, when I wake up that next morning, I'm like neutral. I'm empty. And so what I found I have to do is pray to establish that contact with my God before I get out of bed, because if my feet hit the floor, I can be off doing my own thing, and I forget about him until much later. So I have to pray as soon as I wake up. That's just my
heart. Thank you. Yeah.
I sure wish I had one morning. I have like three of them. Yeah, I fall asleep, and I wake up, and it's like 10:30, and then I fall back asleep, and then I wake up, and it's like 2, and you know, well, this morning I woke up at like 8:15, 8:30, you know, oh my God, you know. No, actually it wasn't even that, it was like 8:45 or so, you know, so. But I just don't have one morning, that's, you know, simple as that.
Anybody else? All right, let's pray. Thank you all.
Good job, Joe.
Gather around. Gather around.